This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
What's up, everybody? This is Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, October 22nd, 2019. I'm your host today, Imran Khan. And joining me today is FM3 underscore, the one and only Fran Mirabella III. How are you doing today, Fran?
I'm doing well. I like that you call me FM3 underscore.
The underscore is there, yeah.
You'll make sure to find me on Twitch if you use that. But yeah. It's like every time I hear it, I'm like, oh, underscore.
I mean, when you first typed that up, were you like, well, oh, FM3 is taken, so I just got to put something?
Yeah, exactly, because this is my gamer tag across all platforms. Mm-hmm. We'll be talking about gamer tags later. But yeah, like, that's my gamer tag. It's been that across all platforms forever, FM3. So I just had to add something.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do an X, you know?
Yeah. The underscore is your brand.
Yeah, I'll change it. I'll come up with suggestions. Still got to be FM3, though.
Mm-hmm. Kevin is shaking his head.
Of course.
In a very upset way. This is Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames, where we run you through all the nerdy video game news that's fit to listen to. If you're watching live, you can connect, or you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. To be part of the show, to actually connect with us, head to patreon.com/kindafunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or listen later by searching for Kind of Funny Games Daily on podcast services around the globe. Today's stories include reviews for The Outer Worlds are out, Steam's local multiplayer beta is also out, and Crystal Dynamics explains why they're focusing on Ms. Marvel. But before we get to any of that, there's a little bit of housekeeping. We've reminded you a lot. We're going to remind you again because it's for the kids. Extra Life is Saturday, November 2nd. 24 hours of games for charity. Join us now at kindoffunny.com/extralife or watch on that actual day. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Blackjack and Mohammed Muhammad. And today we're brought to you by Third Love and Upstart. But I'm going to tell you about that a little bit later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We got four stories today, Barrett.
A baker's dozen.
All right, first of all, we're going to do an Outer Worlds review roundup, and I'm going to say Outer Wilds at some point during this. I'm going to do my best not to.
Only that once. You said it there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make that the quota.
Yeah, okay. We're gonna try to say Outer Wilds, but yeah, it's going to get there.
I can't tell if he's trolling me.
It's going to get there.
You just said Outer Wilds instead.
We're going to try.
Can't tell if he's messing with me on that one.
I didn't say we're going
to see. You're going to try to say Outer Wilds?
I'm going to try to not say Outer Wilds.
See?
Okay, all right.
See, I can't
see what
tell
you said
was
you're
going
to try to say
you
Outer Wilds.
You either did just mess it up immediately, or you did the best troll of your life.
JV Gwaltney, who is a PR representative for Outer Wilds, publicist for Outer Worlds, is probably very pissed off at me right now. Okay.
They're very upset with you, trust me. That's
I'm sure.
Okay, but you know what? The reviews are looking good.
Yeah.
So they got to be happy about that.
So first of all, DualShockers, Thomas Franzese, gave it a 9.5. He said, while saying something like The Outer Worlds is out of this world, may be low-hanging fruit for a writer, it isn't a false statement. This game rewards player choice and experimentation on a level I have not seen since Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, and it managed to do so in both gameplay and story. With the best writing of any game thus far in 2019, any fan of RPGs needs to play The Outer Worlds. Game Informer Joe Juba, that sounds like a made-up name.
Does, right.
JJ. Yeah, good old JJ.
He's very upset with us now, though.
Give it a 9.25. Even if the larger beats don't always land, The Outer Worlds shines with constant stream of small, bright moments, an amusing interaction with a clueless guard, a sugary corporate jingle, a brutal sneak attack, a solution to a problem you were sure won't work, but it does. The team at Obsidian excels at encouraging creative experimentation within its responsive and absurd setting, ensuring that every visit to Halcyon is full of delightful surprises. Over at GameSpot, Edmund Tran gave it a 9. I finished The Outer Worlds wanting more, eager to jump back into the world to see extra things. It's not a short game, but it's one packed with such a steady stream of wonderful characters to meet, interesting places to explore, and meaningful, multi-layered quests to solve. They didn't feel like there was any room to get tired of it. I wanted to rewind the clock and do everything in a completely different way. The Outer Worlds is consistently compelling throughout. It's a superb example of how to promote traditional RPG sensibilities in a sharp, modern experience. At IGN, Dan Stapleton gave it an 8.5. With The Outer Worlds, Obsidian has found its own path in the space between Bethesda and BioWare, and it's a great one. And considering that new RPGs from either of those influential developers are still years away, the game couldn't have been timed any better. It's not as explorable as one big open world, but it still packs a large portion of flexible quests and conflicts within its series of smaller ones. And the combat, character, and companion systems have enough new spins on the existing ideas to make it feel like an homage with its own personality rather than a copy. U.S. Gamer Michael Williams gave it a 4 out of 5. Games Radar Alex Avard gave it a 4 out of 5. Polygon Cass Marshall didn't have a score, but they gave it recommended. And Kotaku Gita Jackson gave a very, very long review that does not have a score, but on Twitter she was incredibly positive. She said she loved the game. So it's safe to say that that's a very positive review. Have you touched the game yet, Fran?
No, yeah, I don't have a copy yet. I'm pausing because, as I mentioned as we were getting into the show, I was like, wow, there's a lot of positive reviews. Greg was more like somewhere in the middle, you know. Right. I don't know. He doesn't put a score in it, but I felt like he was in the sevens maybe. Mm-hmm. From the way that he was talking about it on Gamescast. He talked about it being, I don't know, overly challenging, or the pacing seemed off at times and buggy at times, but he liked it. Could appreciate that it was kind of Fallout New Vegas, a little modernized, but also not modernized enough after, I think, you know, the 10 years or whatever it's been now.
And Greg was on Gamescast last week. We pre-recorded a segment for this week, which we'll insert into the actual Gamescast, of his thoughts on the game.
Yeah. Oh, wait, is that not out for...
No.
Monday's episode?
No.
Because
the review of Mario was this morning.
You heard it here first, everybody. Now you really want to tune in for that episode, which is a week out, right? Next week it'll be up on YouTube.
Yeah, it'll be on on Monday, live on YouTube. And I don't know what the plan is for Thursday when we pre-record the full show.
Yeah, okay. Will we see it there?
I don't know.
Right, that's a good question.
We should probably ask Greg what his actual plan for that is.
Well, yeah, no, that's more of a Tim question.
Anyway.
But yeah, we'll figure that out.
But on the show it was... you know, I got
he was
the
not
feeling,
super positive
and
on
you,
it.
And you played some of it too, you know, and we'll hear a little bit from you on that show. But, like, how are you feeling about all this?
I agree with him that there were a bunch of flaws to this game, but I played more of it since then because I was at like 4 hours.
Yeah,
he had beaten the game.
Just scratching the surface.
I really love the game. I think what it intends, like, it is the kind of indie successor to Fallout New Vegas that, like, Bloodstained is the old Castlevania kind of games. Maybe not as directly, you know, imitating that, but it's a smaller scale Fallout New Vegas. So all this stuff people are saying of, oh, actually the writing is amazing, the quests are well designed, mm-hmm. the various choices you can make are smart. Like, that's all incredibly true. That said, it's also very janky in some spots. The UI is not great.
The UI is terrible. Yeah. I just started playing last night, and
I'm super excited about this.
It was to the point where I left the room when you guys were talking about it because I didn't want to get like influenced before I started playing it. But I finally sat down and played like 2 or 3 hours last night, and it's giving me that like classic Fallout feel. Like I'm really excited with the story and characters. But yeah, the glaring issue is the UI, the map, and how that handles. Like, the map is terrible. It might be one of the worst maps ever in any game I've played.
I don't think I've actually used the map for any, like, I just walk towards the direction I think I need to go.
Yeah, I'm so used to, for games like Fallout, where if you have several quests that you're trying to keep track of looking at a map and seeing, like, specifically if there's a route that I need to take to get around things or whatnot, and just using this one, it's just awful. And then, yeah, the UI feels like dated. It's not like a huge problem, but yeah, when you go into your inventory and are trying to swap things out, you're just like, yeah, this feels like 2004 all over again. It's weird.
I think I said it on Gamescast, but there was a time where I was like, I was just trying to figure out why I could not disassemble a gun. And it was just because the gun was, I had other copies of the same gun, so I'm like, oh, I'll just break this one down for parts.
Right.
And I just couldn't. It wouldn't tell me why. It just grayed it out. So
like
that's
a mission gun or something.
Yeah, I don't even know. Like, I put it in storage. And I just can't
still
do it.
Don't know.
And there's no real storage in that game, by the way. Like, you just have to find lockers that you want to use and just put stuff in there.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's got that classic Fallout type of feel for me so far of the kind of major quest that they introduce you at the beginning of the game, but that kind of evolves into this kind of side story that you're going into right now. It's a classic Fallout feel, and that's why I'm excited to get more into it.
Yep. Yeah, it's a reminder again. This is from Obsidian, who has some of the original members who created Fallout before it went into Bethesda's hands. And then on top of that, they did Fallout New Vegas. And so that's the note, again, if you're interested in the game in particular and you like New Vegas, I mean, I have a feeling you'll really like it.
If you like New Vegas, you will like this game. Yeah. If you did not like New Vegas, this is not going to do anything for you.
Yeah, you may not like
it. It is exactly the same kind of thing on a smaller scale. But, like, there are so many cool things about it. Like, I've been kind of doing a save reload kind of thing just to see, because I don't have time to replay it again. So I've been just kind of like going through and like, oh, what happens if I did the quest differently this way? So there's one point where a guy gives you a quest. He's like, go here, go do this thing. And I was like, okay, what if I just kill you? So I did that.
Right, what this game is all about, by the way. Yeah. That should be the poster tagline for all these games.
What if I just killed you?
What if I just kill you? it's a target on someone's like...
It pissed off my compatriot, and she didn't want to hang out with me anymore because I just killed someone in cold blood to get the thing. But I got the quest, like, done. I didn't have to go do a thing and then spend a whole bunch of time and effort and eventually resources taking out a dungeon of marauders. I just killed one guy. So theoretically, if you think about it, I'm really the moral one there, because I only killed one person as opposed to, like, 10.
Oh, that's your morality.
Yeah, that is my morality meter right there.
That you can create your own morality in these games. Again, that's what it's all about. So
I am actually a little surprised how well this game is rating, though.
Yeah. You know what it is? I think that, and I've seen this happen to me personally, where... Just the core gameplay speaks to people in a way that transcends, you know, some of the issues. Like, honestly, Borderlands has some of that. It has some antiquated issues. It got a lot of flack, you know, in the beginning around that. People were talking about the menus, some issues there, the map even. Just some areas where it's janky as well. But overall, they just loved, you know, the chaotic shooting, et cetera. But anyway, I have a feeling this game's kind of like that. That it's just like, there's not a lot of... other games that sort of do it in this way, and it feels like it's hitting some of these nostalgia feels. You know, it's funny, a lot of the reviews here are like, you know, it's carving out its own path, you know, putting in Dan Stapleton's words. But Greg and you guys, I think you were saying it felt very New Vegas.
Yes.
Almost like they put a new coat of paint on it, but you're like, huh, is this really a new?
Yeah.
I mean,
if New Vegas came out 2 years ago, then I think I'd be like less okay with this. Yeah, like, that is one of Greg's problems that he explains later, is that he wished the game aspired for more. Like, it is just New Vegas. And, like, years after the fact that it didn't take it didn't take any of the actual, like, lessons learned from there. So, like, we talked about, like Baird said earlier, the UI is just a fucking mess. That I could see why people would be initially, like, very turned off by things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you get into your head expectations with the trailers that come out, the beautiful art that's attached, and... And that what I'm getting at, right, is I kind of had that going for me, too. I'm like, yeah, man, this is new, modern, Fallout, the next generation version of whatever that is, right? And, you know, when you guys start talking about it, you're like, well, it's kind of like New Vegas with a fresh coat of paint, with, like, some touch-ups here and there. And I'm like, oh, that actually makes a lot of sense. I mean, it's from those creators. Yeah. They're not a huge, huge team. I mean, I don't know how big they are now. They're bought by Microsoft. But, you know, it's not like they're... you know, as big as the Fallout team, I'm sure.
Right. They're significantly smaller.
So, anyway, it's I'm really happy for them. It sounds like it's one of these niches that if they didn't do it, nobody else was going to be doing it. And then, like, that's the other side of this. Maybe they didn't polish every corner in the way you wanted, but, like, nobody does it quite like them. You know, Obsidian has a really good reputation. So I'm glad to hear it. I'm actually going to pimp. I did a piece. IGN Expert Mode was a series that I produced when I was at IGN. It was part of the Facebook stuff. Barrett remembers this.
Brag about it.
We did one on... I'm not bragging. I'm just pointing to an awesome
piece. No, it was a fun series. I liked working on it.
Executive producer on that I did. You guys should check it out. It's IGN Expert Mode for Fallout New Vegas. You can find it on YouTube.
I didn't know we did that.
Secrets of Fallout, how an abandoned sequel led to New Vegas. I came up with that headline with it. Nah, maybe I didn't. That was that could have been Ryan McCaffrey. Nah, I think about it.
I didn't know you guys did that one. The only ones that I helped out with were Psychonauts and The Last of Us, which were great episodes to work on.
You didn't know about Fallout New Vegas.
No.
Exactly, So check it out. It sounds like it's from one of the producers there. But I recommend it because it gives you some insight on how they think about designing these games and the RPG element and the morality and all that's really important. And anyway,
let me ask you a question, Fran. As somebody who has reviewed games for IGN, what consideration, if any, would you give to the fact that Outer Worlds is day one on Game Pass on PC and Xbox One? Like, would that matter to your review at all? Would you be more forgiving of flaws, or?
No, I mean, this is the problem, and I've struggled with it in my review career. People, like, they're like, the price doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And they'll say it doesn't matter. And you could even argue it doesn't matter if it's an indie team or a huge AAA team, and it's like, that shouldn't matter because it's a game, and it's game, and it's game, and you should just review the game. So what I'm getting at is, no, I don't can't affect your viewpoint of as a game. But what I do think is important is you talk about that and say, oh, if you want to just try it on Games Pass, though, and, like, is it worth an hour of your time and you already have it, that's a different viewpoint, if that makes sense. But right. I don't think it changes the review of how you feel about the game. You know what I mean?
I think I you're right. As somebody who also reviews games, you're correct. But I don't – what you're saying about it not being, like – doesn't matter if it's indie or whatever. I think you do keep those considerations in mind, whether it's subconsciously or not.
People do all the time. Yeah. I'm saying you're not supposed to, don't you think?
I mean, Outer Worlds specifically. Yeah. There's going to be a lot of talk when that game actually comes out about the fact that I don't think a lot of people don't know it's not open world.
Yeah.
I think people think it's as big as the Mojave was in Fallout New Vegas. It's not. Like, literally, the areas between towns are valley hallways that you just kind of walk through, and it takes maybe five minutes to get there.
It's much more narrow than that.
So, but the reason I don't consider that a big deal is because it's not a Bethesda, not a game being bankrolled by Bethesda. It's a game being bankrolled by Take-Two's indie label.
You could see, but that's where we really get into the ethics of it all. I know what you're saying, but I would argue, I'm like, well, but just as a game, how do you feel about what's in the game, the pace of the game? Does it need a big open world?
Right.
And if it does, then you should say so. And if you feel it needs to be dinged because it didn't provide you enough, then you should. I mean, if that's the precedent for this type of game, that would be my argument, is to say, if you're feeling that way, then yeah, that's, and maybe now that I hear you saying it, I'm like, maybe that's what brings your viewpoint down a little. Maybe you want more of the open world.
It's one of those things of like, if this game was published by Bethesda, I don't think the review scores would be as high, even if the game itself were exactly the same. And like, that's maybe unfair to say
it
to the game,
because
it's a fun game. It's just that those expectations do color how we see these kind of games.
Yeah, they do. I hope they don't for a lot of people. It's hard not to, though. You're right. I'm not arguing with you. It happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But when I run into that situation, I try not to let that get in my head. I mean, the truth is, I see the opposite, which is, we'll see really big AAA studios like Bungie, you know, release a new IP or Bethesda or whatever, and there may be some really good redeeming qualities and things happening, but you expected this AAA perfection.
Right.
And so the axe comes down on you, and I hate to see that side of it, too, which is, I feel like, just to make sure we're clear on the one side, I love indie developers that do a lot with a little, and there's a ton of credit due there. But I also really get triggered when I see people come down on the big AAA studios because they're like, they're rich, they should have known better, it should be perfect. And it's like, they're still just like a game studio with the same type of people.
Mm.
They might have had some more resource, but it's just, you know, games get made in a very similar way, right? It's got a creative director, it's got the same choice structure. You know, sometimes you just have more resources. And so, anyway, that stuff shouldn't taint the review is the short answer.
Right. Taint is an interesting word. Tilt, I think, might be the better one, because I do think that like these kind of things do affect. And it's as we start moving forward in the industry and we start thinking about where, because AA games are disappeared for at least a generation. Those things are basically gone. And I feel like we're kind of getting back into them with games like Outer Worlds.
I was going to ask, what was an example of a AA game for you?
Like an older example of a AA game would be like Darksiders.
Okay.
And I think we're getting into this kind of thing now where games are being made under an indie label, but by established developers that are roughly like AA quality, but we're not calling them AA. We're calling them, I don't know, prestige indie games or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So like games like this or Control, I think are games that we're starting to look at in the AA context, but we're not considering them AA yet.
Yeah, I know what you mean by that. And again, it is confusing. You might get a game that was from a two-person team, and it's a cute little, $14.99 game, and you compare that with a $60 game. It's like a huge bazillion-dollar marketing budget, and you do.
But there are indie games that run circles around AAA games too.
Well, exactly. Yeah. But they don't have to be big and audacious and full of marketing money necessarily. So again, like at a base, it shouldn't affect your review, the price and all that. But it shouldn't affect a review, but it can affect a recommendation. And what I mean by that, right, is I think it's cool to add that slice of like, hey, here's what I think. And, part of it was, for me, it was, this is a very small team. I like these types of games or whatever it is that – as long as you get that information out there.
Yeah, even if I liked Outer Worlds less, I would easily be able to say, like, yeah, but it's on Game Pass, so if you've got an Xbox One or a PC, just pay the $2, play it for a month, and see if you like it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a long... It's about, like, 10 to 15 hours. It's not a super long game. Mm-hmm. They encourage you to play it more than once. Like, you can get through that in the trial period pretty easily.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So, is it worth your time? It sounds like most people are saying yes, and if it's on Games Pass, you might as well check it out.
Yeah. Borzen00 asks, hey, our Good Morning Imran and Fran reviews are out for The Outer Worlds, and it sounds like Obsidian has finally shed the king of the sequel, especially the BioWare sequel. I think they're referring to, like, how they usually just make sequels to other studios' games, like Fallout New Vegas,
oh, right.
Coder 2, that kind of thing. And has proven that they can make a new IP that is also received well. My question, though, is how well will it do in the mainstream, as the only other recent mainstream successes have been licensed IP, Fallout and South Park? Is The Outer Worlds destined to be single-player Fallout replacement for players, or it'll be just as niche as Pillars of Eternity?
I don't think it'll be as niche as Pillars of Eternity. Mm-hmm. I think that this game has enough sort of style and being anywhere in the vicinity of Fallout, one of the biggest franchises out there when it comes mm-hmm. to gaming, anywhere around that is going to be a good thing.
But especially after 76 kind of like tainted the brand a little bit.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think people are hungry for this type of thing. It is, interestingly, it is in a niche, mm-hmm. but it's a big niche that doesn't get filled, you know, I think the right way. So, no, I think it'll do well, but no, I don't think they're expecting it to be as big as Fallout, you know.
Yeah.
And that's not the expectation here.
Though I will say Bethesda releasing a Fallout collection on the same day Outer Worlds comes out seems really petty.
You know what? That might work out for them in the end, which is like, that's one of those situations where they're helping the interest in the genre. So actually, while you're buying that, you should pick up Outer Worlds because it's in this genre.
I'll tell you what's the biggest boon for this game probably is now Microsoft owns Obsidian. We talked about that a bit earlier. Yeah. They are really getting behind this game. They're like referring to it. I think Matt Booty called it like, this is basically an Xbox game that happens to be on PS4.
Yeah.
Like it's on Game Pass. There was a trailer that opened the Microsoft conference at E3.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, they've been super behind it.
They want this game to be huge so they can say, by the way, Outer Worlds 2 is only on Project Scarlet, whatever it's called.
Exactly, yeah. They must be into that sequel development years down the road. I think that's the one that we're going to get that highly, hopefully modernized, like big jump. And probably,
I mean,
that's another
question, though. Like, assuming this game does great for Microsoft, mm-hmm. and they do toss the money behind a big sequel, mm-hmm. do you want it to expand in scope, or do you want them to keep it to what they did well?
I think it comes down to timing, because if you get the game a year and a half from now, I mm-hmm. think that's the situation where you're like, honestly, I'll take the better graphics, like some better audio, and like, sure, it's smoothed out a little bit, but it's basically kind of narrow, like you're describing. I think in that scenario, if it's not going to take forever, people will probably be okay with it, assuming it continues to please the mass audience like it has with these reviews. But I always want the God of War jump. You know,
right.
I want to see, you don't have to reinvent a franchise necessarily, but what I mean by that is just games that nail, you know, so much. You know, they do stuff that really, like, you're like, holy cow. Mm-hmm. Like, even Red Dead, you know, I know that it's loved and hated, but that's a game that I loved and hated. But there's moments in that, and especially on the consoles, I'm just like, how the heck do they do this? It's amazing. And it was experiential. And so anyway, meaning I would love in this type of game, you know, we haven't really seen it actually, because Fallout's janky too.
Yeah, Fallout is.
So can we do this right?
It's obviously janky.
So I'll take, I guess personally what I'm saying is I will take the 3.5 year wait from now, or 3 years, whatever it's going to be, and wait for hopefully a big next gen drop with a lot of upgrades.
I want a new Alpha Protocol.
A new Alpha Protocol. I never played.
I assume
Alpha
Sega owns that, so Sega, get on it.
All right, Sega, heard it here first.
Speaking of Microsoft, Xbox Live Change enables you to choose any gamer tag you want. This is from VentureBeat by Jeff Grubb. Xbox Live is changing the way gamer tags work. The service now enables you to change your name to whatever you want, although you will get a numerical identifier to go along with that. Of course, you can still use your hateful, or you can't use a lot of hateful suggestive words. Whoa,
Amberin.
I missed the point on that a little bit, and the length maxes out at 12 characters. You can change your gamer tag once for free, even if you've used your free name change in the past. Under this new scheme, any name you choose will work, but it will have a number followed by some numbers on PC. On console or mobile, you will get your name immediately followed by the same numbers without the number sign, the hashtag, you know, pound sign. Xbox Live now also supports many foreign language characters. So you can go as just Jay on Xbox Live on PC. But if someone wants to find you on the service, they'll need to look you up for something like Jay number pound, or pound sign 2666. If you go as Jay parentheses Jay number 2666 on Xbox Live on PC, players on Xbox One and mobile and within games are still going to see you as Jay 2666. So it's a little confusing, but basically there's a number attached to it. The naming system is similar to how the communication services Discord and Blizzard's Battle.net work. Instead of telling you that a name is taken, the service just adds a unique identifier to every tag. The Xbox One console and mobile app will be updated to display your new gamer tag, reads the site for changing your name. Games themselves will follow sometimes in 2020. So, this is a cool thing that they kind of just dropped out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one thing that's always kind of like, I know a lot of people are frustrated when they made those original Xbox Live gamer tags and just... they wanted to change it because a lot has happened in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
Of, I don't feel like I need to be like Sephiroth Blade 522 for the rest of my life. So I can see
that's like name changing.
Yeah.
But if you wanted a name, I think that's the important part. Is if you always like, wanted to be.
If there's another Imran out there, God forbid there be another Imran Khan somewhere out there.
There is, by the way.
Oh, no. Horrible. But there are two of us. But. If you wanted that stuff and couldn't get it, these kind of things like can really be a barrier to honestly enjoyment of like you want to have the name you want to have for when you're playing online in Call of Duty or whatever.
Yeah. What I was going to say, if you want like that name, you wanted to be Nathan Drake on your PlayStation, like now you can be. It's just your number, you know, 1337 or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, ultimately, it's a good thing. Yeah, I'm a little like old school where I'm like, I don't like when I'm trying to enter a name in and I'm like, ugh, are you kidding me? It's still taken. So I appreciate the process of like, we're trying to get away from like, you're just trying to enter in Imran Khan. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to come back with like that red, like, boom, sorry, not available.
Yeah.
And you're like adding all these numbers. You're like, who took Imran Khan 2639? You're like, are you kidding me? That's also taken, which happens, right? And it's very frustrating. So it gets us out of that and just gives you this random number. But part of me misses the like, then it's not as unique anymore. And so but those days are gone, like you're saying. It's gone. But also, I appreciate that. I mean, FM3 is a weird one because it's got a number at the end already. But I have FM3 on all those platforms, the original. Like on Steam, I'm just, as far as I know, I guess I have to go back and look. I mean, I'm FM3. There was no other one at the time because they didn't have numbers. Same Xbox and so on. But when I went to Blizzard to do it, I was like, oh, it just doesn't even matter. I mean, I'm like number whatever. So anyway, I kind of like the old school thing is what I'm saying, but I appreciate it's not a good way to do it.
Yeah. I tried to just to see if I could change my name on PSN when they first rolled all that stuff out and just see like what that what that process entails. So I tried to go change my name. It said, you can't change this. Like call this customer support number to figure out why. But I'm curious. As a reporter, I wanted to see why that was the case. So I went to see it, and I called them. I was like, hey, why is my name locked? Why can't I change it? They're like, oh, you're verified on PSN. I'm like, what? When did that happen? They're like, well, you don't have to actually apply for it. Someone just does it for you. And I was like, okay, well, can you unverify me? Like, no, the only person who can unverify you is the person who verified you.
Like in a marketing department somewhere?
Yeah, does it say who did that? They're like, no, we don't know who did it. You'll have to find them. And I'm like, what if they don't work at the company anymore? It's like, I don't know.
Well, that's bad customer service. I mean, I'm sure anyone in the marketing department could help you with that.
Maybe. Well, I like
you're speaking to like customer service.
Legitimately, I don't know what they're saying. Like, maybe it could just be the only person. Yeah. I could legitimately believe that. But that is, it's a hilarious thing of, I didn't want to change my name anyway, but now like the fact that I can't weirds me out a little bit.
Yeah.
I will say I'm sick of Nintendo using friend codes.
Oh yeah, I'm also very sick of that.
I like that you can attach whatever name you want to it, but I like if I had to add someone right now, or someone had to add me on their Switch friends list, I couldn't be like, oh yeah, just search Imran 678.
Yeah, but that's where I was going with the old school thing. Like honestly, Steam is similar, and I mean you get into like just find me on FM3 and like. Overall, you can, but some people are like, what's your ID? Most people are starting to send out Hotlink or ID now.
Right.
Because, like, actually finding the other person can be very difficult with all of these duplicate names.
I have to go into my profile and actually look at the URL to remember what my Steam username is.
Yes, but I'm saying that's the same as friend code, basically.
Yeah,
so,
well, I mean, friend code's a 12-digit code that, like...
Granted, it's more annoying, for
I
sure.
I barely remember my own phone number at this point. Yeah, I don't know that I can remember a friend code.
Yeah, I memorize my credit card numbers, not my friend code.
Like, I used to memorize my credit card numbers. My bank, like, loses them so
yeah,
often.
Yeah, they get
like,
hacked
I have to, like, I have
so
to keep
often.
Constantly changing them. Like, it's there's no point.
Prove it, friend. Tell it to us right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, let me just load up your favorite website yeah, right now.
Just say all of them except for the last one. It's fine. No one's yeah, ever, no one's going to go through with the remaining 9 numbers and see.
Anyway.
I want to quickly add on to that story that yesterday Xbox product marketing manager James Shield reconfirmed that every Xbox One controller will work on the next generation Xbox Project Scarlett. It doesn't matter what generation or type it is. So like whatever Xbox One controller it is. So it could be the Bluetooth one, could be the Xbox Elite, could be
yeah.
the Elite version
New
2.
Elite, yeah.
Could be the day one launch thing, which my analog stick on that one is starting to go.
Mine still works.
But Spencer, our Phil Spencer explained that E3, the decision is Xbox respecting the purchase of gamers that have been made on that platform.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, that's the amazing part about this is that you can buy the Xbox Scarlett and you want to sit down and you want to play co-op. Maybe there's whatever, a port of Borderlands 3 and you want to play split screen. But you need a second controller, which normally is $79.99, you know, with all the taxes and going to Best Buy, whatever, getting your Amazon Prime shipment as fast as possible. But now you just grab your old controller,
yeah,
which is really amazing and nice to not feel, frankly, bamboozled or ripped off. Like I feel like every time, you know, we're buying these new consoles, it's like you got to buy a lot of proprietary stuff. Like Nintendo, honestly, I feel like every time Nintendo sells stuff, I'm buying all the accessories.
They hit reset button every single time.
Yeah. The dock.
Except for like the Wii controller on Wii U, but that was a different thing.
Yeah. Well, but even then, you needed to buy more Wii controllers eventually,
yeah.
You know. But anyway, it's amazing. It's a really good reminder that that did come out, and that's but, exciting. We'll see if Sony... they haven't said that. They've talked about backwards compatibility, but I don't think they talked about control.
They've talked a little bit about the new controller. They say it has like a force feedback thing.
Did they say the old DualShock's going to work on it yet? I don't know if
I don't
they
think
said
they directly
yet.
Said that.
Help us out in kindoffunny.com/you're wrong.
I would assume that like since the PS4 controller had a touchpad, and that touchpad was used for some games, either there will be like a way to get around
sure
it, which is strange, or they'll just say like, just use a PS4 controller.
Yeah.
But I think
this is
like,
really cool.
This is them saying, yeah, please buy an Xbox Elite version 2. It'll work in a year. We promise.
Yeah, especially this is them saying, please buy an Xbox Scarlett, please.
Yes.
Not that they're not selling Xbox, but you know, PlayStation is well in the lead, and Switch is selling a ton right now. So.
Switch has outsold the Xbox One at this point, I think, or
right
it's close to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's on pace for it.
Yep. But now, man, I'm excited about next year. It's hard to believe. I was skeptical, and we'll see if a delay comes in. I guess not. We're going to be head-to-head two next-gen consoles at the exact same time. It's been a while since we've gone head-to-head like that. I'm just really excited that holiday 2020 has both the Scarlett and the PS5 coming. Hopefully, did they say global launches for PS5 as well? Or did they just say it's coming out holiday 2020? I mean, we know it's coming to the U.S. because it was like from the U.S. side of things.
It'll almost certainly be a global launch.
Yeah.
I don't think, I could see PS4 isn't going to miss Japan. I could see Xbox 2 or Project Scarlett missing Japan for a little bit.
Yeah, maybe that.
Because, like, why? What's the point?
Mm-hmm. But, like, the main, like, European U.S. markets.
To correct a thing earlier, or not correct a thing, clarify a thing. Nanobiologist asks, what are you playing Outer Worlds specifically on? Private Division gave me a code, at least for PS4. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about Greg.
Oh, yeah, in terms of, it's a good point. I'm sure it was PS4, 100% sure.
Yeah, I'm playing PS4, so I assume he's playing PS4.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he wants trophies any chance he can get it. Meaning, if a code was available, he had to be playing on it. But anyway, I'm gonna check it out on PC, hopefully. It's part of the Epic Store, I'm pretty sure. So.
It's Epic Store and also Game Pass. You can use that one.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you can try Steam's online local multiplayer for yourself now. Here is how. This is from US Gamer by Matt Olson. Remote Play Together, Steam's new feature that lets people play local multiplayer games over the internet via streaming, is now live for participants in the Steam client beta. The feature supports up to 4 players in a game, works cross-platform, and even lets players share control of a keyboard and mouse. Valve's official announcement for Remote Play Together goes light on technical details in favor of telling readers how to get it up and running. Anyone can opt into the Steam client beta, and from there, it's as simple as launching a local multiplayer game and inviting a game through the Steam overlay. Then the game in question reads other players' inputs like they're from another controller plugged into the host machine. Ars Technica's report on Remote Play Together goes deeper on how the feature actually functions. The host of a Remote Play Together session streams out a video feed of the game from their machine to other players, who then essentially play along to the stream. In a statement introducing the feature to developers, Valve recommends a 10 megabyte per second connection for streaming at video up to 1080p and 60fps for players with acceptable latency. Surely, Remote Play Together will be better suited for some games than other games, depending on how much latency factors into play. Still, it's a different streaming beast than Stadia's bandwidth-hungry architecture. On Valve's support forums, a representative confirms that Remote Play Together always needs a connection to Steam servers for streaming, so it's also not a magic solution for letting multiplayer-only games work over an offline LAN setup. So is this a thing you're interested in, Ran?
I personally wouldn't use it. That's just me, but I actually think the feature is really neat. It's kind of fascinating to think about. It's streaming and encoding your local signal, and I wonder if it kind of, in other words, delays. Does it delay your input a little bit by that hat? You know, 50. What's my math here? Milliseconds. Mm-hmm. To, you know, does it try to actually give you all the same latency?
Right.
Because you're playing the game together, right?
Yeah. So,
or are they just getting the frame later and then it doesn't matter? I don't know. I didn't really think it through. But
I think it's a cool idea. Yeah. I don't, because like when I first saw this, I was like, oh, now I can play River City Girls with a friend. And then like as I started exploring more things about it, I'm like, how well is this actually going to work for an action game? For like a card game or something, this sounds amazing, but I can't think of a card game that's not going to be online multiplayer anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I know some people have tried. What's the remote play for? Is PlayStation Remote Play the one? I know people have tried that, but just being able to use somebody else's copy and mm-hmm. like take control and try out a game, like, I don't know, it's pretty interesting. And that's I thought that was a cool note too, that now since it supports these other platforms, so you can use like your local PC.
Yeah.
But it's like if I have Linux and that's what I'm like coding on it, where am I? Oh, but I want to check out this game, or you just do Linux. Linux.
If you have a Mac,
yeah, I was about to call you out.
I know.
I was like, am I pronouncing it wrong?
I was thinking of Linus Tech Tips, I guess. And his branding is so awesome, but of course it's Linux.
Has my mother lied to me for the last 15 years on how to say that shit?
Sorry, buddy. I don't say Linux.
You freak me out. You can't do that.
I was up very late grinding Destiny, as you're probably not shocked to hear, so I'm a little off. But anyway, I do think it's a cool feature. Any experimental features like this, I always think are great. Plus, there's value. Like, there's consumer value because it's not asking you to buy, you know, four copies of a game and
right.
just to play. Like, there would be no point, obviously. You could just play online. It does require an online connection, but pretty cool to give it a try. We'll see how used it gets. You know?
I think the way I'd prefer, and I don't know how technically feasible this is, but I would like it if we both just had our own copies and somehow the local multiplayer just worked between us. Like, I feel like that's not an easy, that's not a possible answer. Cause, like, if it worked, they would have done it. Like, if those games just, Valve just applied netcode somehow to an existing game that didn't have it.
Oh, if you have, but if you have, in other words, if you have it though, then why don't you just play online?
Because the game itself doesn't support online multiplayer.
I'm trying to think of the scenario and I'm missing it, I think.
Rude City Girls is an example.
But you,
if we both just had the game, and we went to a local multiplayer match, and then Steam went, okay, you guys are both local multiplayer. We're going to just connect you together somehow. I don't know that's technically feasible.
So games that have local multiplayer that do not have online multiplayer.
Right.
So I see, I'm not familiar
with
this game.
I would like it to just add online multiplayer. I don't think that's technically, that's a dream wish list kind of thing. So I guess this may be, the only way they could get it to work.
Gotcha. Yeah, and maybe there's some, older games or something that would apply to.
Yeah.
It's, it only supports, local multiplayer, and if you both own the copy, then you can use your own. Either way, I think it's cool that, yeah, actually, I just thought that there's probably some older games where, you're right, they don't have the online mode, maybe even, and it's just got local multiplayer stuff. And so you can just hop in with a friend and single copy. So,
but it is cool that Valve is doing this, that they're leveraging that.
I was experimenting.
Yeah, that cloud kind of technology or personal cloud kind of thing to do a thing that ends up making more games possible or more functions in games possible, even if it's not necessarily, it's a good first step.
Yeah.
So we'll see where it actually goes.
Neat. Definitely would have flown under my radar had I not been on the show today. So I think it was a good pick for a new story.
The developers of Avengers are explaining why Kamala Khan was chosen for Marvel's Avengers protagonist role. This is from IGN by Matt Perslow. Crystal Dynamics has offered a little more insight into why it chose Ms. Marvel as the protagonist for Marvel's Avengers over other, more well-known superheroes. Talking to IGN at EGX 2019 in London, where Virgin Media held the UK's first play of Marvel's Avengers, senior producer Rose Hunt explained that Kamala Khan was chosen because of her personality is very relatable for people playing, and that her lack of history allows the studio more freedom when crafting her story for the game. When Marvel brought Kamala Khan up as a possibility for us, we were super excited about her, says Hunt. But she's a fangirl like us. She's a fan of the Avengers like the whole world is. So we thought that she would be a super relatable character to be our protagonist. And another advantage of her is that she doesn't have 80 years of history like Captain America or some of the other Avengers, she added. And that allows us to actually tell more of an original story with her because her story has just begun and we can build on that in interesting ways. So they revealed this a couple of weeks ago. I think it was the first new Avengers gameplay since, like, they've showed that demo and they polished it up a little bit over time.
Yeah,
but it was still not a great-looking demo, like, since they've shown it. But when they did show Kamala Khan, and this may be because I'm actually just a huge fan of that character, name reasons aside.
That's how tired I am this one. I didn't even think about that. Durr.
But she, like, that was when I was like, okay, this game actually looks really good now.
Yeah.
So how are you feeling about
the
game?
But just for clarity, you thought that gameplay, you know, trailer they showed looked better than what they showed in the past? Or you just got excited for the character integration?
That's one of the reasons, for sure. But also, part of the problem I had with that is that it looked off. Like, all the characters looked off. So maybe it was I wanted it to look like the MCU and it wasn't subconsciously that was tainting it. I don't know.
Yeah, if you've seen all the movies with those characters, it's a little tough comparison at this point.
But like Kamala Khan, I read her comics, obviously, so I know what she looks like. I think I played her in Ultimate Alliance 3, but this is the one that I'm like, okay, actually she looks fine in the game, like in the cutscenes and all that stuff, and her actual, like, clearly the battle segments in the trailer were edited to look a bit more exciting than maybe they actually are, but it looked more interesting to me. How are you feeling about the game these days?
I'm still interested. I mean, you guys had described, like, playing it and some stuff that I just haven't really seen, you know. Some people were like, wow, it's kind of like Destiny, but not. And then how is that going to work? And we have all these questions unanswered of how it is a seemingly somewhat persistent online shared world.
Right.
And yet it's this, like, driven campaign. So I don't understand how it works yet without playing it. And I honestly haven't, like, looked deep enough, I think, into the interviews and some of the footage.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm optimistic about it, though. You know, like, I'm not the biggest Marvel fan in the world. What I mean by that is I am nowhere near the knowledge that you guys have. I've seen the movies. I used to watch, you know, X-Men cartoon when I was younger. And, you know, I've dabbled here and there. But, like, I don't appreciate the world as much as many others. But I like the material. So, meaning, it's one of those scenarios, right, where, like, just because it's a Marvel this shared world game, like, I'm still looking at it from how's the gameplay, right?
Right.
Like, the Marvel stuff I could take or leave because, you're right, I'm just not as into that side of it. So, like, I just don't know enough about the gameplay. So.
Do you think as a fan who's not necessarily a Marvel fan, like, not super into Marvel comics?
Yeah, it's not that I don't like it again. I just, you know how that is. It's like if you like Star Trek and you don't like Star Wars, it's going to be hard to get excited about, you know, the next Star Wars.
Did you watch the new trailer?
I did.
What'd you think?
I just watched it once, and I got real emotional with, like, the vibes of, like, oh, man, like, I've been watching this for my whole life, and this is supposed to bring this chapter of this story to the end, you know? And so I really got that vibe, and it seems to be the main thing they're going for, so I really appreciate that. I'm super excited. I think JJ always delivers, for me, I feel like the right in the middle of, like, it was good. You know, there's always some stuff I'd
take. That describes him pretty well, the right in the middle kind of thing.
But, like, I'm never disappointed. And so, tons of beautiful shots. Anyway, so I
didn't watch the trailer. Once I get tickets, I'm like, I don't need to watch it. I'm already bought in.
Yeah.
But
it's a cool trailer.
What I was originally trying to ask is the.
So, as a non Marvel fan?
As a non Marvel fan, do you feel this game is less marketable if it's not, like, Iron Man is a protagonist? He's the one you're starting the story with.
I don't think it's less marketable, but Iron Man is, you know, one of the most, like, iconic, you know, Marvel characters now, just because of what they did in all the movies and everything. So I think just having Marvel on it and all the characters, it's going to be easily.
It's called Marvel's Avengers. Like, yeah, it's going to sell fine.
Like. Yeah, meaning it's not just going to be Kamala Khan, you know, and you're like, who is this and what's this game about? Like, that's not just because she's the protagonist. It's I don't think the marketing is going to lean into just that, right? You'll have your whole cast of characters. Oh, and there's this new character that I didn't know about. And like, yeah, explain that to me, for example. So wait, this is Ms. Marvel?
So,
and what they did in the movies is not...
She ended up inhaling some Terrigen Mist, and she became, like, a kind of stretchy character. Like, kind of a Mr. Fantastic thing that can, like, inflate her fist or whatever.
But wait, in other words, what I saw in the movie...
Mm-hmm.
Captain Marvel different than Ms. Marvel? That's
so she started as Ms. Marvel. And
wait,
then she started as Ms. Marvel, and she became Captain Marvel. So the current Ms. Marvel, looks up to Carol Danvers, Captain Marvel.
She's
like, I'm just going to take her name.
Oh, you can be Ms. Marvel and Captain Marvel. It's like a title.
Yes.
But you are actually Kamala Khan.
Yeah.
Okay.
She didn't meet Carol Danvers until, like, I want to say a couple of volumes. No, maybe, like, one volume in, like, the end of the first volume. And then... Carol Danvers is like, okay, actually you do actually embody this name. So go ahead and keep it. Keep calling yourself Ms. Marvel.
All right, to fully explain this, we would have to be here for another 2 hours for Fran to understand it.
I understand.
I would suggest reading the comics because they're really good. At one point, she describes all her X-Men fan fiction to Wolverine, and he cannot stand it.
I like that. Okay, I like the sound of that. Anyway, I'm definitely very excited about the game, and I don't feel like they shouldn't have to explain why they chose her.
You know they have to, though.
Yeah, of course they do. Yeah. But, I mean, it
you
was
know
a
the exact people who are like, why is this not Star-Man?
Yeah. Yeah. But the silver lining is I do like the side of it where I was like, wait, this gives us a lot of things to shape. Mm-hmm. You know, a character that people don't know as much about. And so I can appreciate that, again, as not a super fan. I think it's a better way to put it. I'm a Marvel fan, I'm just not a super fan. So as a Marvel fan but not a super fan, I'm like, oh, yeah, it's going to be kind of cool to see this newer story instead of all these other characters that I know about already.
Mm-hmm. So that game comes out in May. But, Fran?
So far.
That is so far away. If I wanted to know what's coming out to the mom-and-grop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Yeah. Out today, Street Outlaws, The List, for PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Beholder 2 is out on PS4. Mary Skelter 2 is out on Switch. The Legend of Heroes Trail of Cold Steel 3 is out on PS4. That's a good series, actually.
Hmm.
WWE 2K20 is out on PS4, Woo! Xbox One, and PC.
Let's hold for a second here.
You want to show those GIFs?
Barrett? Yeah, I'm trying to find the specific video, and I forgot.
You're worried about how long the show is, and then
I think I retweeted it. If you want to find it.
It's the one where it really bugs out, right?
Yeah, the one with Ronda Rousey and
All right, give me a minute.
But that was not the final game, though, right? As far as we understood.
From what I understand, that was video captured today, and the game is out today.
Oh, it was from today.
Yes,
it is
from
I thought there was something
copy.
From before the final game. Okay.
Yeah, there's a couple of those, too, but those don't look that different. So, yeah, this is amazing.
So, wait, is this it?
This is the final game, yeah.
Okay.
Just wait for it, Fran. Wait for it. It's a slow build.
It's a slow build, but
they're listening.
So
we're watching footage on, I don't know what platform it's on. I can't tell. But
this is Xbox One, because that's what it's an Xbox share. This is Ronda Rousey and Dakota Kai fighting.
Okay.
And the ladder just broke in half in a very weird way. And then it sort of disappeared into the ring.
Just kind of fell
off.
And now
Rousey is getting powerbombed into stairs that sunk into the ring.
Yeah, there's like a clipping problem. Yeah, the chairs are bouncing in the corner. That's a huge,
doesn't end here. Look at the ref's knee. Look at everyone's knees.
Rhonda has like raptor legs. Wow, the ring is breaking. Wait. You're telling me this is the final game?
Oh,
the ref's
today.
Caught up. Oh my God, what is happening? You hate to see it.
This is some real Lovecraftian. This is like, what if angles weren't angles kind of horror?
This is a big deal, by the way. I mean, this is a big
franchise.
This is the
first
year. We're going to have to pause for a sec.
This is the first year where they took Yuke's off the development. I think they got taken off mid-development of the game.
Yeah, it seems rushed.
Yeah.
Now, my question is, though, is this... We just talked about a game that you said has janky stuff in it, right? Outer Worlds, and it's getting nines, right?
Yeah.
So... Is this something that's happening all the time? You know, what are the reviews saying? Do we know any of this yet?
I mean,
now that we're,
I've not seen the reviews for the game. I don't think there were
they sent it out late, right?
Yeah, it could be one of those things, or it's a WWE game, so no one really cares to review it.
No,
really?
100%. Meaning it would be like an IGN cover story if they had it already.
Yeah.
So I'll double check as we go through to see if it's the review's out yet. But I'm not seeing it yet.
It's been looking bad for a number of weeks, but like for the actual game to come out, was that?
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
So it looks bad, but I didn't expect it to be that bad in the final build.
No, I didn't expect. If that's happening a lot, that's crazy. Yeah. So that's what buyer beware for sure, based on the clip I just saw.
All right.
Let's wait for the reviews.
So that also comes out. That is out today. Also out today, Destiny Connect, TikTok Travelers, PS4 and Switch. Franny, you got to stream
that.
New
Destiny game?
Raging Loop for PS4 and Switch. Skull Girls Second Encore is out today on Switch. Moons of Madness is out today on PC. Spin Rhythm XD is out today on PC and Mac. Day and Night is out today on Switch. Tangle Tower is out today on Switch. The Park is out today on Switch. PBA Pro Bowling is out today on Switch. Night Swap is out today on PC and Mac. Flatland Volume 1 is out today on PC. And Outscape is out today on PC. New dates. Darksiders Genesis, that kind of top-down Diablo-like.
Oh, yeah.
Or isometric, not really top-down, Diablo-like.
Yeah.
Darksiders game. It's releasing on PC and Stadia on December 5th.
It's exciting.
If you want a console version like PS4 or Xbox One, you got to wait till Valentine's Day, February 14th.
Why is that? Well, I mean, I guess it's just the PC was the lead platform.
I guess they took some Stadia money. Would be my most... Not for exclusives, but that they had to get it out that day.
Actually, you see, this is what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
To be discussed further, but maybe it is like a Stadia exclusive, so from a platform side, but they were like, well, PC's fine, but can we buy a few months on the other platforms?
And I suspect like Shantae on Apple Arcade is like one of those where they announce that for every console, but the game is out now on Apple Arcade. It's just, it says Shantae Part 1, I'm guessing because the game's not done. So they're just like, oh, well, what if we just cut up this game?
I think you nailed it, man. This is like, it's basically done. I mean, if you're going to go to Stadia, it's not just carbon copying the PC. There's a lot of exchanging hands, testing it on Stadia. Like, yeah, there was some, I mean, and they could have put it out on PS4. You know, they certainly could have.
Maybe it is like a thing of, it's not going to sell well in December on consoles. Let's take another shot in February.
Other than, I mean, it is based on the PC version, so it's an easier port. So who knows? Maybe that's all that it is. I'm speculating, I guess.
Borderlands 3's Bloody Harvest event starts on October 24th. Kill haunted enemies to earn hectoplasm and gain access to the Bloody Harvest map. Frank, can you, as one of the hosts of the Borderlands show, can you give us any more insight into this?
Yes, NDA, technically,
but it's
in
announced.
Terms of that event. But we did talk about it on the latest Borderlands show, which is coming out soon at a date to be revealed. We also talk about the new Takedown event that is coming up in later. Mm-hmm. I always forget exactly what dates have been. But anyway, as this event, it's really cool looking. The trailer came out. There is new legendary content. But the whole concept behind it, by the way, is there's you hop into this spooky area. There's some mission-based stuff. And you get terrified. You have to get this hectoplasm to keep. It affects your stability and your guns and stuff like that, right? Mm. You get the concept. So there's some new gameplay mechanics and stuff to earn. So I'm excited. It's free.
Are you still playing Borderlands?
Yeah, I'm still playing Borderlands, of course. Actually, even, if I wasn't on the show, it's nice. It's just fun to hop into, man.
Yeah.
There's something about the way the game feels and looks, especially, I'm playing on PC. It feels great. And anyway, I'm excited to get into the event.
I was playing with some friends last night. We did the Malawan slaughter thing.
Yeah.
And... at the end of that, there's two giant robots that are the bosses.
Mm-hmm.
Two of my friends had already, died, and they were, up in the hallway trying to, snipe from up there to help us out.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, we go rush towards that robot. We need to go kill that thing. And we're like, what robot? that giant robot that's sitting in the corner, we don't see it. So we go up to it, and, all of a sudden it just kind of pops in.
Just popped in.
And the friend describes, oh, there's a big, animation. It was, came in small and unpacked and all that. We just didn't see it at all until it, just came up there. Yeah. We did win, though. We ended up killing that thing despite only two of us being on the ground.
That reminds me of a boss that I did with Greg and Andy, and the entire game froze for me. but when it froze for me, they got a cutscene of the boss intro, and I didn't know that there was a boss until it was right above me, about to smash down on me. Cool.
Yeah. You guys should also know that it is Mayhem on Twitch, but also just in general in the game. It's a for this week. It just starts today at 3 p.m. Pacific time. Is a micro patch that rolls out. You get extra XP. There's increased loot drops when you're playing on Mayhem. Excuse me, don't know where that came from. But also, if you're viewing folks on Twitch, there's that rare red chest event. So if you catch me out there with the red chest event happening, you will be guaranteed to win if you participate now. They've also increased those badass events, which I love. You can take control of enemies and, like, level them up. I mean, you're not controlling them, but you're leveling them up and giving them health and stuff. It's cool. So it should be a lot of fun to watch some streamers go out and support some folks out there who are streaming that stuff.
Next time you talk to Paul Sage, you're going to get him to de-nerf the Flacker.
Oh, you think it's too powerful?
No, it's they nerfed it.
Oh, to de-nerf.
Yeah, like they
it's
nerfed it.
It's still pretty good.
It's still good, but it's not as good. It was crazy. When it was broken.
You mean when it destroyed everything in a close
radius? I had a level 50 like legendary
radius.
Flacker, and now it's like, oh, well, now it's not as good.
You got to try some of the other billion guns.
Deals of the day, Resident Evil 2, the remake, is on sale on Amazon for $24.99 for PS4 and Xbox One. And we're going to get into some reader mail in a second, which you can get to by writing into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Third Love. Nearly all the kind of honeys are wearing Third Love bras, and you should too. Third Love uses data points generated by millions of women who have taken their Fit Finder quiz. Design bras with breast size and shape in mind for a perfect fit and a premium feel. Third Love offers more than 80 sizes, including their signature half cup sizes. Skip the trip. Find your fit with Third Love's online Fit Finder. Order and try on at home. No more awkward fitting room experiences. Every customer has 60 days to wear it, wash it, and put it to the test. If you don't love it, return it to Third Love and they'll wash it and donate it to women in need. Third Love's team of expert fit stylists are dedicated to helping you find your perfect fit. Fit stylists are available every day to help via text, chat, or phone. Returns and exchanges are available, are free and easy with comfort and quality. Hands down, the most comfortable bra you'll ever own. They have straps that won't slip and tagless labels with no itching. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra out there for everyone, so right now they're offering our listeners 15% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/games now to find your perfect fitting bra. Get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/games for 15% off today. We're also brought to you by Upstart. As many of us have found out the hard way, getting into debt is easy. Getting out is hard, especially if your credit score isn't great. Thankfully, now there's Upstart.com, the revolutionary lending platform that knows that you're more than just your credit score and offers smarter interest rates to help you pay off your high-interest credit card debt. Upstart goes beyond the traditional credit score when assessing your credit worthiness. They actually reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter interest rate. You've probably heard it before, but when Greg moved to San Francisco, he took out a loan and his interest rate was garbo. This would have helped. Upstart believes you're more than just your credit score. They believe in you and they understand that. They make it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate in just a few minutes. The best part? Once the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. The next day! Over 300,000 people have used Upstart to pay off their credit cards or meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high-interest credit card debt by consolidating everything into one monthly payment with Upstart. See why Upstart is ranked number one in their category with over 300 businesses on Trustpilot. And hurry up to upstart.com/kfgames to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate can only take a few minutes and won't affect your credit at all. That's upstart.com/kfgames. So we got a question here from JRR0D. It says, good morning, Imran and Fran.
J. Rude.
I have a question about embargoes and the Switch. Since the Switch is an inherently portable console, does this affect embargoes that companies have on their games? Are you restricted to where you can play games before the date? Or are you able to play games anywhere with the unreleased games? So I think what he's asking is, you got a Switch.
Yeah, I get it.
Go play it in public. Like, oh shit, so this guy's playing Zelda right now. Like, he's playing a new unreleased game that no one can see.
Right.
Like, is that okay?
Yeah, that's forehead in Twitch terms, meaning duh. It's like having a private document, and you can't just go to the park and, like, leave it on the bench. And
there's nothing explicitly against, like, Rich George is not going to say, like, hey, you cannot fucking do this. But if you do this and someone takes a picture of it,
yeah, that's on you.
Yeah, that's on you, and you're going to get a phone call from Nintendo and be like, what the fuck did you just do?
Yeah, and we've seen this happen with sometimes Apple hardware or test hardware for stuff. So, yeah, I mean, the simple answer is, it's a good question, by the way, because it, you know, it's meant to be played that way, but like you got to be careful.
Right.
I got this question recently because, right, you got roommates or family members and you got Death Stranding, right?
Yeah.
Can you play it in front of them? No.
Yeah.
That's technically, that's what it is. Either that or you could, technically, this is not binding in the agreement. When you sign for a company, for example, so if you sign, when you were at Game Informer, right, Imran Khan for Game Informer, you're signing for Game Informer. So if anybody, technically, that's the way it's supposed to work.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody says something at Game Informer, if you were there, they're all sort of in the same pile because the company has signed an NDA in agreement with them. And so in other words, at home, it's kind of the same deal. You could, you know, if we lived together, we were roommates, I'd be like, dude, you can't talk about this. You're like, okay, no problem.
Yeah.
And that's, the company's not going to tell you it's okay for you to play it in front of your roommate in the contract. But like, look, they trust us enough to give us the game in the first place. So
yeah.
Be selective with who you give an NDA to in the first place.
I mean, I've roomed with game journalists before. Sometimes I'm on an embargo that they're not.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, it's a question
that's
of,
a
like,
weird situation.
Well, I got to take this TV and this PS4 up to my room because it's more important. Like, it's important that I can play this in private.
Yeah.
Like, it's a weird. I had a thing last week where my brother was like, hey, do you want to just come over? Like, come hang out today. I'm like, I got to play Death Stranding. I can't. He's like, well, just bring the PS4 or whatever. And I was like,
right.
I can't.
Yeah. Like, and you got to be careful with that. It's a tough decision. I mean, it's like, what I was getting at is you technically can't because of the NDA. But they trust you enough that if you're going to go over, and let's say you do have a friend that's close enough that you'd be like, that you can't say anything. Technically, Sony, they would freak out,
yes.
What I'm saying. And you're absolutely breaking the law. So you shouldn't do it. But
yeah.
Saying hopefully they trust us enough to make the right decisions when you run into these.
And they kind of limit those things. Like, obviously.
I'm not doing that for the record. I'm not out there playing Death Stranding in the park.
They know that if, like, your wife sees you, like, you play Death Stranding, that's not a big deal. But, like, they want to limit that stuff so you're not doing that exact thing of, yeah, what if I took a Hori monitor and, like, plugged it in somewhere at the doctor's office and started playing Death Stranding there?
That's like, what Greg's doing right now. I know it.
I assume that Greg has only been playing Ghostbusters Remastered for the last 2 weeks anyway, so we'll see how
Death Stranding. He's just at a Tim Hortons somewhere in Canada, just like playing Death Stranding, wide in the open. No. We're smarter than that, and that's the point.
Canadians tell me, is there other coffee places besides Tim Hortons, or is Tim Hortons just the most famous one?
It's like over here. I mean, I don't know if it's like Dunkin' Donuts.
It's the only one.
But yeah.
It's the only one.
Like, is there a Starbucks there?
I've only been to Canada like once or twice.
That's not true.
It's the only one I've seen, Fran.
It's the important one. Anyway.
All right.
Any other reader mail we're taking, or is that it?
That's it for right now, but we do have a squad up. This is from Andrew Dramus. He's on Xbox One. Okay, I gotta parse this gamer tag a little bit. It is lowercase l, Star Trooper. One word, space, lowercase l. And he puts in parentheses, yes, those are lowercase l in spaces. I'm sorry, I know it's bad. Ever since Imran talked about Code Vein on a recent Gamecast, I've had my interest piqued. And the game is a fun, quick romp through a stylistically impressive, if you're an anime fan, Souls Light. And the achievements are pretty easy to boot, all save for one, a multiplayer achievement. This pesky accolade requires you to grind out 400 marks and achieve the max level as a co-op companion. If you want to chat it up with a best friend and grind it out in the depths, shoot me a message on Xbox Live. I live on the East Coast of the United States and play most nights after work around 6 p.m. to 11 p.m.
All right.
So, yeah, give him a shot with Code Vein if you're looking to play some anime Souls-like and help him grind out that achievement.
Look what you've done.
Speaking of what we've done, we're going to check out You're Wrong, which you can run into kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we didn't get right.
My sheet's broken. I don't see anything.
Can you scroll down?
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Why does it work that way?
It does that sometimes.
All right.
I don't fucking know. I didn't set up the
Learn to code, dude. Fix it.
I set this doc up.
All right. We have plenty of your wrongs in here. All right. Let's tell.
Videos of 2K20 are out before the day one patch, which has not been published as of yet.
Ah.
But that game is available on digital services, so.
So, yeah, wait. That
release without. So they have a day one patch, but it hasn't come out yet on day one?
That is.
Question mark?
That's in and of itself a terrible fucking thing, but Tim Hortons is not the only coffee in Canada.
The only one I've seen. So
thanks for the additional info of what is the other coffee stuff.
Starbucks and Dunkin' exist in Canada as well. Are they as good though? Is there a reason people?
I'm not going to fight that fight right now. Tim Hortons, they will come after you.
Yeah, Tim Hortons. I got a Tim Hortons mug, and I've no because I've never been to Canada. So I have no idea where that mug came from. I don't think I have any friends in Canada that would give me a mug.
That sounds like a Jen Miller thing, though. That sounds like a gift Jen Miller would give out.
Possibly. Yeah. I don't think she's giving me a mug. Though now I need to bother Greg to bring me a Tim Hortons mug. As of January 2019, Microsoft has sold around 41 million Xbox Ones as of June 30, 2019, and they've shipped around 36.87 million Switch units. So they're close, but not quite hitting it yet.
This one's interesting. I'm trying to read this the one from Timmy Buddy that's talking about the... Let's talk about WWE 2K19, though. Did they mean 20?
The review was a cover story for IGN.
For 19, though.
Yes.
But that was...
And this year, 2K did not send out early access review codes.
Oh, I see. So they did... Yeah, it says they brought multiple YouTubers 2 weeks ago to play the game, capture footage. Maybe that's some of the stuff that's going up. 2K even waited too much longer than releasing the normal trailer and doing any first look stuff like they have in the past. So everybody seems suspicious based on this. And yeah, there's this big day one patch. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, let's see how the patch settles in and wait for the reviews if you're a fan. Based on that clip, it's a little scary.
RHD16 says you can add mutuals on Twitter and Facebook if you connect your Nintendo account to them. So I assume he means on Switch. Yeah, I hate that because it doesn't show me, like, it says knows you from Twitter, but it doesn't say what the Twitter name is. So it's like, oh, this is John from Twitter. I'm like, who? Huh. Like, oh, it's like so-and-so. Right. Oh, 0015, like, all right. Do you see anything glaring?
Did we get the Switch selling Xbox info yet?
Yeah. Or it is on pace to do so. It has not done so yet.
Sorry.
All right. So all right. Tomorrow's host, it is me and Tim. Fran, on Thursday, is you and me again.
Yeah, we'll be back.
On Friday, it is once again me and Tim. But on Thursday, we have a special games cast with you, me, Tim. And editor-in-chief of US Gamer, Kat Bailey, is joining us.
Oh, I didn't know that. Awesome.
Yeah. Where we may have, we'll have some Outer Worlds impression. Whether or not Greg's impressions are there is a question we'll figure out later.
I gotta try to get a copy then.
Yeah. But if you're a Patreon subscriber, you can watch that live. Or you can watch it or listen to it the next day.
That's right. On Friday for Patreon folks, if you don't watch it live with us.
Yeah.
And otherwise, it's up on Monday. YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames.
I can always count on you for the plug.
Right. Yeah, everybody knows that. I'm shameless when it comes to that. You might want to catch me on Twitch.tv/FM3_ if you want to support me, or in the Epic Games Store if you want to support me there. It's just Fran Mirabella.
How's that kind of looking out so far?
Good. Thank you again to all the best friends. I feel like the best friends are the ones using it out there. It honestly, every little bit helps. You know how it is when you're out there freelancing and doing your own thing. And so,
use it on Outer Worlds, an exclusive. So.
Yeah. Anytime you can use it in Dauntless and Fortnite and all that stuff. So it's funny, though, that you do have to disclose. You're like, well, technically that could affect your opinion if you're trying to peddle every game on the Epic Store. How does that affect you as a reviewer? And I'm like, well, it doesn't affect me, but support me on the store and buy that game. But
it doesn't
that doesn't mean
me,
I like
I forgot.
It.
Yeah, like, exactly. I don't remember. All right. Fran, thank you for coming. And thank everybody out there for listening. We'll see you all tomorrow.
See you next time. Been a pleasure.